things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Taylor.
How are you today?
I'm good. I accidentally scared the shit out of somebody today.
What?
I ordered... Shout out to Salsa Grill. Sponsor us.
Yeah.
I got, like, curbside pickup, and I'm wearing a galactic cat hoodie.
Yeah.
I had not washed my face, so I had, like, mascara from last night.
Love that.
I had a pentacle necklace. And I was blasting Heilung at, like, max volume. Do you know what Heilung is? It is demonic drums and Mongolian throat singing.
I'm scared, and I didn't see it in person.
He was so alarmed.
He was trying to backpedal so fast.
Well, he knocked on my window and scared the snot out of me because, of course, I was watching TikToks. So he knocked on my window, and I screamed, and that scared him. And then I rolled down my window, and the, like, sky was filled with Mongolian throat singing.
That's amazing.
He just had a rough afternoon. I apologize to him.
You know, it was probably at least a good story that he could tell when he got back inside and make everybody laugh a minute.
I guess.
Comedic relief.
I hope so.
During our pandemic.
I go there very frequently, so I'm concerned about moving forward. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be all right.
Well, today is what? Grab bag?
Grab bag episode.
Grab bag.
I'm really excited. I have a couple of really good ones. I'm excited. I don't want to tell you all the things that I have, though. I know last time we said, like, we have a sticky and a funny and a what. I want to keep it all close to my chest until it's time.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I like surprises.
Secret Taylor, I like it.
I know, and I'm usually real bad at surprises. So it's a good thing that I wrote these today.
Oh, got it.
So I didn't have to hold it in for very long.
We're doing it college style here.
Yes. Okay. That is how I do all of my research.
College preparation amateur hour.
Absolutely. Are you starting? Is that what we decided?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll go first. Cool. I titled my first story because I'm a nerd. And I titled it Unpeelable.
I don't know how we always do this, but I titled my first story too.
Oh, my. I can't stand us.
Why? Why are we like this?
I don't.
It's like we have a single brain in two different bodies.
We have hive mind.
We do.
And we don't even know it. Okay.
Okay.
So.
What's it called again?
Unpeelable.
Okay. All right.
So, let me set the scene. Like a biblical plague, centipedes, ants, and pit vipers.
I don't like it.
You don't like the danger noodles?
No. I don't really. I like them from afar. See, I like when I can see them, or if I know that they're going to be there. I don't like surprise danger noodles.
Oh, got it. I'm a big fan of the nope rope. They're just tails with faces. How are you not going to like something? It has no legs.
It can kill you.
With what? Its tiny little face and tail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's why you like it. Because it can kill you very quickly.
They're cute and also deadly.
Ugh.
I like it. So, deadly danger noodles.
Great.
Descended on St. Pierre, Martinique in April 1902, fleeing falling ash and tremors from nearby Mount Pelee. They attacked livestock and humans, and they killed 50 people. Though the volcanic mountain had yet to spew debris, it did heat up a lake in its vicinity, which sent boiling water down the River Blanche, making boiling mud flows in flooding waterfront areas with scalding hot water.
It's Dante's Peak.
It is Dante's Peak.
Favorite. Love that movie.
The people were horrified and wanted to evacuate.
Of course.
But were told by their governor to stay in place because the mountain would never erupt.
Ooh.
And then it erupted.
Yikes.
And Mount Pelee erupted on May 8th and sent a deadly pyroclastic flow toward St. Pierre, the Paris of the West Indies. It was annihilated and only two people survived.
Why is this not a full-ass disasters episode?
There's not a whole lot. It happened in 1902. There's no fun pictures.
Okay, got it.
This is
okay.
Just like a little snip.
Cool.
A little snip snot.
All right. I love it.
Thanks.
So two people survived.
Two people survived.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. Oof indeed. So I really just wanted to use it because I liked my unbelievable pun.
I mean, I like that too.
Thanks.
But that sounds tragic and terrible and also very disastery. So
I just wanted to...
Okay. All right. If it's short and little, then it's
short and little.
Okay. Is that... That's the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Okay. Cool.
Short and little.
Short and little. So... My first story is called A Modern Day Gilderoy Lockhart.
Oh my god, I hate him already.
Okay, so this dude. Okay, famed French author Stephen Bougois is known for his expertise in serial killers.
Ooh.
So kind of up our alley here.
Yeah.
He claims to have interviewed more than 70 serial killers, written over 40 books, and has parts in documentaries, TV shows, etc.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
He's really doing the damn thing.
Yeah. Except that he got ousted as being a total fraud by a collective called the Fourth Eye in Paris.
Okay.
So they basically, like shed light on all of this. Sorry, I lost my place. Okay, where am I? Oh my god. I know that there's a part in here and I thought I put it right there. Okay, future Taylor, edit this out.
You better flag it.
Yeah. Okay, he was recently ousted as being a total fraud by a collective called the Fourth Eye, who shed light on the doubts that they had about his experiences. Bougois came clean recently and said that he did not have any FBI training that he claimed to have had.
What?
He also claimed that he was a football player. Like, he played soccer.
Oh,
he was a famous soccer player.
Fancy pants.
Yeah, and he had not interviewed nearly as many serial killers as he had claimed. And possibly most disturbing, he made up his dead wife.
What?
Yep. He said that his wife was murdered
in
1975. He didn't have a wife at all.
What?
Nope.
So nobody fact checked this dude?
Apparently not.
Apparently you could just say whatever words you want and they're true?
Yeah, I guess in the 70s.
Okay, good job, Mr. Bougois.
Ousted like 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
So his lies span decades.
He's canceled.
Absolutely. So the woman that he said was his wife was actually a real person named Susan Bickrest, who lived in Florida. He had actually met her a couple of times, and she was murdered. But they were not married.
What?
He just, like, plucked her out of the land of the United States and was like, kabam.
Huh. Did she never hear this? And she was like, what? I'm dead?
Right. Well, she got murdered.
Oh, so yeah, she probably did.
But I was like, I guess her family probably would have never found out that this Frenchman said that their daughter or whatever was married to this guy.
You know, you never hear about French serial killers.
Right, we should do like a French serial killer.
Yeah, it's like fun. they're too busy like drinking black coffee and smoking cigarettes on patios to like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making great bread.
Yeah.
So a spokesperson for the Fourth Eye told CNN that they started investigating Bougois in August of 2019 after discussing his work on a Facebook group that was dedicated to criminal cases.
Oh God.
That's where I thought this was earlier. Members of the group had their suspicions that Bougois had plagiarized books originally written in English and noticed details that didn't match up or inconsistencies from one of the books to the other. Then Bougois describes himself as a mythomaniac.
What the fuck is that?
And he says, I write movies in my head and sometimes they spill upon paper.
No, you're a pathological liar, bud.
Yeah.
That's a fancy...
Don't romanticize this.
No.
You have stolen everybody's money.
You just found an alliteration way to say pathological liar.
Yes. he has apologized for his lies, but at the end of the day, he's a serial liar.
What a... Oh,
no. Yeah.
Is it going to be one of those again?
That's the only pun I have.
Okay.
That's the only one. I promise.
I'm sure there's going to be more on the fly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only one I've written down.
Well, what a stinking rascal.
I know. I was reading this. I was like, hold on. When did this come out? Because I was like, J.K. Rowling had to have known about this dude. But he literally just got ousted May 12th is when CNN broke this.
Oh my God.
I can't.
What an idiot.
Dumb, dumb.
Very confident.
I can't imagine, like, when the internet got popular. He was probably like, oh, shit.
Oh, I can do whatever I want.
Well, no, I think that he would be like, oh, shit, more people are going to be able to connect more dots.
Oh, I was thinking, like, he could just, like, go say whatever words he wants to on the internet and people will believe it because people do that.
People do that, but I think there is a good...
You said do-do.
Do-do that. Oh, Lord.
God. Bob.
Yeah.
That's wild. Cool.
That's it.
Okay. Well, I'm about to tell you about some hungry, hungry criminals.
Oh, my.
It's actually just one criminal.
All right.
So, the owners and employees of Augie's Barbed Wire Smokehouse in San Antonio are likely well aware of the length some men will go to get their hands on delicious Texas barbecue.
Texas barbecue is very good.
I would commit crimes for Texas barbecue.
Same.
As I relate to this gentleman.
Okay.
But they were not expecting the kind of determination that 34-year-old Alan Menelay brought to bear.
Mm-hmm.
After staging a daylight raid on the restaurant's refrigerators while employees were distracted during a shift change, he was able to stuff 13 briskets and 10 cases of beer into a trash can and load it into the back of his van.
Do you know how much a brisket is?
So, yeah, a lot.
I just found
a fantastic sale on brisket at Kroger.
Did you?
Last week. Yeah.
Ooh.
That's what's in the oven.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Anyway, so then he sped off to a secure location that may or may not have been furnished with nothing but a tarp, an entire vat of Stubbs original sauce.
I admire this man.
I do too. And he didn't just have some sudden, uncontainable craving that only hickory-smoked meat could satisfy. Police suspected that this was his fourth barbecue heist in 2 months.
Oh my God. Listen, this past fall, I was in Texas, and we had to wait a really, really long time for barbecue. I understand. I'm not kidding. We were in line for an hour.
What?
And the line was wrapped around the building, Jenny.
Hold,
I'm not kidding.
Wait a minute. Of all the years that I have known you, you cannot wait an hour for food.
No, I snacked.
Oh, okay.
No, I knew that I was prepared for this to be an issue.
Okay.
And Ryan was with me. So he was like, she needs to eat or she will die.
Taylor has this thing where if she doesn't eat when she needs to, is it mania? Anger? It's hostility?
It is definitely hostility. A little bit of aggravation with a side of frustration and just like a little topping of mania.
It's just a little snippy.
Yeah. It's like the hunger makes my filter go away.
Yeah.
And yeah. I have gotten better. I promise. It's
one of my favorite Taylorisms. I love it. I know to keep you fed.
Yeah. Ryan knows that 90% of the fights we've had have because I'm hungry. I would like a snack.
He learns though. He's like, Taylor, when was the last time you ate?
Oh yeah. He'll like interrupt me mid bitch mode and be like, do you need a snack? And I'll be like, yeah, I do. Yeah. I think that would make things better.
Oh, I love that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I understand that man and his need for brisket.
Yeah. I get it. Brisket's good.
Oh, man, it's so good. In that barbecue we had, I wish I remembered the name of the place we were at. But, oh, God, it was so delicious. I had to unbutton my pants.
I love
that. At the table. I was like, oh, okay. I need more macaroni and cheese and brisket. And the only way that's going to happen is if I go up a pant size.
Listen, you know to wear leggings. You gotta wear leggings to places like this.
I wasn't that prepared.
Okay.
Okay. So, my next little grab bag story here is actually very timely, and I'm hoping that we may have more information by the time that this is actually released, but this is actually a PSA.
Oh.
So, there is a girl named Maddie Bell, who is 18 years old, and she is from Greenfield, Ohio. She left her home early on Sunday morning, May 17th, and never returned. That morning, Maddie's mother, Melissa, was cleaning, and Maddie yelled out, "Mom, I'm going to go tan. I'll be right back." But she didn't. Melissa became very concerned. She called the police after she couldn't reach Maddie on her cell. And the police pinged her cell phone, which led the police to the Good Shepherd Church parking lot, which is only about 100 yards from the tanning salon. The car was unlocked. Her keys and phone were in the front seat, but she was nowhere to be found.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Witnesses at the church say they saw a white car with California plates and a man in his late 20s to early 30s with light hair and a polo shirt. Unfortunately, Melissa didn't actually see Maddie before she left the house, so we don't have a description of what she was wearing that day. But Maddie is 5'6". She weighs between 120 and 125 pounds. She has brown hair and brown eyes, but sometimes wears gray contacts. She has a cross tattoo on her neck and a ghost tattoo on her side. Mm. If you have any info on Maddie, you can call the Highland County Sheriff's Office at 937-393-1421. So I'm really hoping we have news on Maddie before this episode comes out, but if not, keep your eyes peeled for her.
God.
Yeah, and that's close to us.
That's so close to us.
Yeah.
We have, like, I hate to say it, but, like, there is so much human trafficking in the Midwest that it's unreal.
It's really scary. I did a project on human trafficking in college. And
like, here or, like, nationwide?
Nationwide, but with a big portion of what I studied was here, because Indiana is known as the Crossroads State.
Mm-hmm. Crossroads and of America.
You can get anything through Indianapolis. So when we have big sporting events like the Colts play, that's one of the biggest events for human trafficking, because there's so much drinking and so many young people there.
Oh, God.
So,
and also getting to Lucas Oil is a freaking nightmare.
It's awful.
It's you have to walk through, like, the actual designated parking is like alleys.
Yep.
It's wild.
Yep. So, yeah, keep an eye out for her. I hope that she is found safe and sound, but the fact that her cell phone and her car keys were left in the car, that is not a great sign.
Mm-mm. Oh, that made my heart heavy.
Sorry.
Well, I'm going to try to follow that up about a ghost chicken.
Great. Please do.
Oh, my God.
Listen, we're a little bit grim.
But now it's a little bit funny.
You got to switch quickly with us, friends.
Oh, my emotions are on a roller coaster.
Just another day in the life.
Oh, my God. Let me preface this with the fact that this is a real haunting.
Yeah.
People out there, like, see and acknowledge.
Are you about to tell me about a chicken?
Listen. Let me tell you about Sir Francis Bacon. He was not the chicken.
Okay.
His story begins at the Highgate Pond in England. Sir Francis Bacon is a philosopher and scientist who in 1626 had an argument with his friend Dr. Witherbone.
Oh my God.
Over how to preserve meat and over who had the dumbest name, presumably.
Yeah, 100%.
So Sir Bacon suggested that perhaps keeping the meat cold could make it last longer. But being a doctor in the 1600s, Dr. Witherbone found the suggestion as asinine as washing your hands before surgery. To prove his point, Bacon went out and got himself a chicken, plucked it, cleaned it, stuffed it with snow, and invented the first frozen chicken. Then he caught pneumonia and died, making him a martyr for frozen chicken.
Huh.
So at the site of his death, it is said to have been haunted ever since, but not by any human soul.
Oh my God.
For over 300 years, the site of Bacon's experiment has been haunted by the ghost of the chicken he killed.
Ghosts of chickens past.
Since shortly after his death, people at Highgate Pond have reported seeing a plucked, headless chicken running around in circles and pecking for grubs with the ghostly beak it doesn't have. The sightings endured through World War II, in which many military troops stationed nearby tried to catch the chicken ghost for their dinner. Because, as I mentioned, the first thing that should come to your mind after discovering some spectral abomination on nature is what it would taste like for dinner.
Were you hungry when you were doing these stories?
I was.
Okay. I was.
It was last sighted around 1970 when a canoodling couple was interrupted in their yard by the prudish poultrygeist.
Oh my god. I don't want to hear you give me any shit about puns.
I forgot I put it in there. I'm sorry. That disapproved of their PDA.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That... All right.
Sorry. You had a very hard story to follow up.
I'm so sorry. I probably should have told you about that. But I just thought it should...
It's organic here at a little bit.
It needed to go in it at some point. All right. So... My next story is very, very short, so let me pull it up real quick. Alright, so this is just a little fun, possibly creepy pasta. It was a Reddit little blurb that I found.
Okay.
I love the idea of past lives, and I love the idea that children can access those memories better than adults.
Mm-hmm.
So, this story starts out saying, my brother grew up terrified of water. I'm 4 years older than him, and the nightly battle for bath time when he was 3 or 4, I asked him why he was so afraid of the water. I was a water baby, as my mom called it, so I just didn't understand why he would be so afraid. He looked at me, and I remember this word for word. I was in a big, unsinkable ship. We hid in the biggest iceberg, and then it was really busy, and then it got really cold and wet, but then I went to a warm, bright place and waited until my next family came.
Oh.
Hold on, it gets worse. My mom heard it and decided bath time was immediately over. The weirdest thing is that my brother was born April 15th, 1992.
Ew, no, oh, no, 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 no.
The Titanic sank April 15th of 1912.
Oh no.
Oh.
Oh, oh, I have so many goosey bumps. Ew, that made me feel I felt it in my teeth. That was so eerie.
Yeah, I love those stories though. Oh, so good.
Gross. Well, my next one is not spooky.
Okay, great.
But it's very short.
We're ping pong in here.
Yeah, we are. We were in different vibes. We don't always have hive mind.
Just sometimes.
This is the story of the Shireme,
mm-hmm.
of which I tried to say. Uh-huh. It is a tale in which a samurai warrior is walking around Kyoto late one night when he is accosted by a naked pervert. And before the samurai can draw steel and carve this man up, this perv bends over and pulls his butt cheeks apart.
Oh my god.
And has a huge eyeball peering out of his butthole.
What?
This is a folk tale. That is very common. And told frequently in
Japan. An eyeball in his butthole is what you're telling me.
A samurai is walking down a street.
Okay.
Some naked crazed maniac walks up to him. And before he can react, the naked guy bends over, spreads open his booty hole. And there is an eyeball just staring back.
And what is that just supposed to scare the living daylights out of whoever is coming at him? And be like, never mind. Nope, nope, nope.
I have no... That's the end of the story.
What is the... parable here.
I know. What lesson am I supposed to be learning?
Don't run around naked? Don't attack naked people?
Or don't look into people's butts?
Maybe.
I don't know. I wish
Oof.
I had more to offer you. All
right.
This is all I provide.
I understand. Okay. Oh my. All right. So my last little story for you today is our first listener story.
Woo!
Okay, I'm really excited. So Alyssa is somebody that I have known since high school. We went to high school together, and she DM'd me on Twitter and told me this absolutely bananas story. I have kind of concised it down a little bit. Towards the end, there was a little bit more conversation and conjecture, so I just wanted to get her side of the story, like, all strung together.
Mm-hmm.
But... All right, here we go. So, Alyssa says, I'm staying with my boyfriend who lives in Fort Wayne. He lives in a house that was converted into 2 units, or the downstairs unit. I never met or saw the upstairs neighbor. We know he worked thirds, and we would hear him go up and down the stairs. On April 17th, I got home from work around 1:30 and was like, it smells kind of weird in here. But was like, Jordan probably just didn't take out the trash or whatever. I lit a candle and took a nap. Around 3:30, I woke up by a banging on the neighbor's door, and someone was banging on the door, yelling and clearly looking for him. Ooh. Yeah. Around 5 o'clock, Jordan got home and said, hey, does it smell weird in here to you? And I was like, okay, that's weird that you would notice a smell as well without me pointing it out. So then we realized that his mail was overflowing, his car hadn't moved, and we haven't heard him go up or down the stairs for a while.
Yeah. I don't like where this is headed.
Nope. And then I remembered that someone was looking for him earlier that day. Mm. We knew that the landlord was related to the upstairs guy somehow, but we didn't want to freak anyone out that might know or love him, so we called the maintenance guy because we have a good relationship with him. We give him beers and stuff when he's mowing.
That's what you should do. For your maintenance men. If you rent right now and you have a maintenance guy, give him a beer. You don't know the shit he's seen.
They have to go through a lot.
Y'all don't even know. Appreciate a maintenance tech today.
Send them love. The maintenance guy and the landlord are close business partners, so we knew that he could get a hold of someone that would go check up on this guy. So we called the maintenance guy and told him everything we put together except for the smell. Mm. Because, to be honest, it didn't smell like death. Before my current marketing job, I worked as a CNA for a nursing home and spent 2 years with hospice, so I know the death smell.
Ugh, it's not a good one.
Nope. And this was not it. It literally smelled like the garbage you forgot to take out after cooking chicken. Mm. And we didn't want to overly panic anybody, so we just told him about the mail overflowing, not hearing him, his car not moving, and someone looking for him. We just said we'd feel comfortable if somebody checked on him. He thanked us and told us he would let us know if something was wrong. So the next day, April 18th, his mail was gone. So we thought, okay, maybe he's quarantining with a friend or something, and then he came home and got his mail. The smell was still there, but because it smelled like garbage, we just assumed he hadn't taken that out of the trash if he was staying with a friend.
Yeah.
So we're going to fast forward to Wednesday, the 29th of April, 12 days after we called it in. I'm taking a nap, and I'm woken up by someone banging on our door. I hear sirens, lights, look out the window, and there are fire trucks, EMS, cops, the whole nine yards.
Oh, no.
I answer the door, and there's a cop there, and as soon as I open it, there's an EMT on the sidewalk that says, no, the upstairs unit. So the cop in front of me goes, oh, sorry to bother you, and walks away.
You got nothing else to say for yourself?
I'd be like, no.
What's that? What's happening?
Like, do you want help?
Want me to go in first and just make sure it's okay?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like groggy trying to wake up, and I'm just like, oh my God, is he dead? So I hear them break open the outside door, and as soon as they get in, open it, I hear them say, oh my God, we need to suit up.
Oh no.
And I'm instantly hit with the actual death smell. And I'm like, yep. Yep, okay, he's dead. And he's been dead.
Oh, ew. What an ominous way to end an email.
Well, there's more. It's just more of me and Alyssa, like, going back and forth conjecturing about what might have happened to this person. We did kind of discuss this person probably was trying to lay low for whatever reasons. We know that he did have a drug record, and he probably was somebody who didn't want to be found. So there probably weren't a lot of people looking for him. His obituary was one sentence, and it was his name, his age, and where he passed away at.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was an interesting time talking to Alyssa about everything that's been going on. She's very much like us, and like she needs to know everything about what happened. So she went on a deep dive. I was trying to go on a deep dive. She looked out her window, and somebody had left a note on his car.
Ooh.
And she took a picture and sent it to me, and she's like, there's a note there. And I was like, go look at it! What does it say? And she goes, oh, somebody wants to buy it. I was like, oh, that's boring.
Yeah. But that's not ominous at all.
No. So that is, our first listener story. So thank you, Alyssa, for sending that to us.
Yeah. Thanks, Alyssa. Do you want to move? Call me.
Yeah, we have apartments.
Yeah.
We can help you.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, thanks for that.
You're welcome. You loved it?
We're supposed to go eat dinner now.
Yeah, let's go eat dinner.
Okay.
Hungry. So,
if you like us, rate us.
Yep.
If you hate us,
don't say anything. go follow us and subscribe.
And do the things.
Yeah, do the things. You know what to do. We don't have to tell you what to do.
No, you got it. You're smart people.
All right. Goodbye.